The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench. A packed hour of sport coming your way between now and 7 p.m. We have a lot to get through this evening. We'll be looking ahead to Cork's opener in the Munster Football Championship as they take on Limerick and Portgrin next week. We'll be talking to boss Ronan McCarthy and Kevin Flav. We'll also be talking to Alan Callaghan about his failing Nigel memories and about that win over Limerick and how that sets them up for the rest of the summer. John Cotter is going to give us an injury update ahead of tomorrow's trip to Bohemians in the EA Sports Cup. And we were joined in studio earlier on by the Munster Senior League champions UCC as boss Noel Healy and centre-half Rob Slevin reflect on their incredible year so far, which actually isn't quite over yet. You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. The big question of the day, though, Kieran O'Regan, is your top purple or pink? I didn't think this was an issue. I didn't think it was a thing. Apparently it is.
Yeah, purple. It's just clear. I don't know about magenta. Yeah, sorry, I don't use that colour that often. And some shade of pink. I'm not quite sure how.
Now, Anna Geary came out and thought it was pink. And
yeah.
Killian thought it was a different shade of pink.
But it's purple. Yeah.
If you want to see this, go on to our Twitter at Big Red Bench. You'll see the chop in question. It's predominantly grey with a purple trim. So it's purple. And then some people thought it was pink.
Two people thought it was pink.
Which was baffling to me because it's quite obviously purple. So if you want to check it out, go to at Big Red Bench on Twitter and you can check it out for yourself. We put a poll up as well. Was it pink? Was it purple? Was it magenta? Or was it Clarice, Cerise, whatever Killian thought it was? It's unanimous. It's 75% purple.
Yeah. Like
for the other 25%, you might need to get to an optician's tomorrow.
It's purple, like it's...
At Big Red Bench, check it out. Let us know what you think. Kieran, get us up to date and everything that happened today.
Yeah, very busy day sporting-wise, starting with Gaelic Games. Galway and Wexford, they've played out a draw in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship in Salt Hill. Finished 16 points apiece. Wexford would be very disappointed, but Maura Trasny Callig reports.
Does she?
She should be.
She should be.
She was up there anyway.
Was she up there?
Maura was up there.
Do you want to do that again? This definitely isn't my fault.
It finished 16 points apiece. Maura Trasny Callig was up there.
Full time, Galway 16, Wexford 16. It shows how poor a game is that went for a long time. The loudest the crowd got was when Wexford manager Davy Fitzgerald was sent away from the sideline. It was a poor game in the first half. It took over 20 minutes for Wexford to score as they threw chance after chance away, while Galway also looked like they weren't firing on all cylinders, but still going in 6 points to the better at the break. In the second half, Wexford finally cranked into gear, plugging away, finally equalising and then pulling ahead with a Sean Murphy point, and the game finished at a frantic pace with no climax, however, ending on a draw that Wexford won. Full time here at Pearse Stadium, Galway 16 points, Wexford 16.
Yeah, Maura I'm definitely paying attention. Sorry, Gary.
Maura Trasny is just after making a big revelation there, because we were watching it and Davey was up eating his headphones But she said he was sent up there.
Was he sent up there? I thought he was just watching it from up there.
So did I, yeah.
Because we were kind of half keeping an eye on it. We'll find out why he was put up there. You can probably guess.
Probably giving out. But anyway, yeah, so he was sent up there. Leash, they're into a Leinster football semi-final after beating Westmeath. The Unwards have run out winners by 12 points to 10 at O'Connor Park in Tullamore. John Sucru's men will now go on to meet Meath in the last four. Elsewhere, extra time is needed for the other quarterfinal. Kildare and Longford, they couldn't be separated after 70 minutes. The latest score there, half-time and extra time, they still can't be separated. It's Longford 3-15, Kildare 1-20. The winner of that game will face Dublin.
Nice. The Sunday Games Twitter feed says that Davy Fitzgerald was dismissed after an exchange of words with an official on the sideline.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Yes.
Exchange of words. I'm sure it certainly was. Anyway, Donegal have booked their spot in the Ulster football semi-final. They beat Fermanagh by 15 points to 9 and then Enniskillen. They'll now go to play Tyrone next month and Fermanagh will enter the qualifiers. In the Munster Senior Ladies Football Championship, Cork taking on Waterford in CIT at the moment. It's pretty much one-way traffic. at that game. The latest score is Cork 3-19, Waterford 3 points. Very surprising. Waterford are a very strong outfit over the last couple of years.
Cork are very stronger by the looks of it.
Well, Cork obviously a very strong outfit as well, but I would have expected maybe a bit more from Waterford, but Orla Finn just running Waterford ragged there, actually, and a lot of frees, it seems, against Waterford as well. Elsewhere in football, Cork's Alan Brown, he's out of Ireland's Euro 2020 qualifying double-headed. Press midfielder picked up a calf injury in training today, ruling him out of the games with Denmark and Gibraltar. Very disappointing.
Yeah, could have been in line to start those games as well. He had a fantastic season, scored some terrific goals for Preston, and got a bright future ahead of him, but unfortunately not to see him in these Euro games.
Yeah, Charlton have won promotion back into the Championship. They've beaten Sunderland 2-1 with a goal in the dying seconds. In fact, it was the last kick of the game of the League One playoff final at Wembley. They had gone 1-0 down early on thanks to a pretty bizarre goal.
It was
goal.
Pretty bizarre. The centre half playing it back to his goalkeeper who just missed it and trickled into the net.
Yeah, well, manager Lee Bowyer says it was a tremendous effort by his team though.
There's things that you can't control. We couldn't control that. That's just one of them freak things that happens in the game. But it just showed our character and our togetherness to come from behind and obviously score at the death there.
After that, we thought Roar would be denied penalties for the second day in a row. Oh. So close. But in the Scottish Premiership playoff final, it finished with St Mirren playing in the Premiership next season following their win over Dundee United on penalties.
And you don't often see a penalty shootout finish on a 2-0 scoreline. I mean, that's what happened because Dundee United missed four kicks. St Mirren put their first two away. They could have won it 3-0. They hit the post the third one, and then Dundee United missed their fourth. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, so at least you got your penalties.
Yeah, I'm happy.
You're very disappointed.
Can't pay the spotters.
Very disappointed today, both because of last minute goals. So it was nice to see you enjoy that. Elsewhere, Celtic, they look set to appoint Neil Lennon as their manager on a permanent basis. He's been offered the job full time after they completed the treble yesterday by beating Hearts in the Scottish Cup final. These Celtic fans say they'd be happy to see him take on the second term.
It was a no brainer. The guy knows the club inside out, from top to bottom.
I think Neil Lennon will do a good job if he gets the money to spend.
Lennon has a proven track record, and I can understand the need for a bigger name, but that doesn't always work, does it?
I think he's earned the right to get the job, doesn't he?
Surely he has. He's played with them for so long.
He not easy to come in as well when Brendan Rodgers left and take over and kind of reignite the team. That's what he's done.
Yeah, he certainly has. The Derby County owner, he's promised to strengthen the squad if they win promotion to the Premier League. They face Aston Villa tomorrow in the Championship playoff final. Frank Lampard, he's led the Rams to Wembley showdown in his first year in charge, and there's talks as well. He could be on his way to Chelsea if Sarri leaves there.
Interesting.
Possibly if Sarri goes to Juve, I think, is the rumour. But that's all it is.
A bit unproven, I'd imagine, Frank Lampard, isn't he?
He's a which?
He's a bit unproven, I'd imagine, for a job as big as Chelsea.
You think so? He had a poor start with Derby, actually, at the start of the season.
No, getting to the playoff final isn't to be sniffed at, but you'd imagine they'd need a bigger name to reignite that club and get them back up the table.
Yeah, surely. Well, we'll have to wait.
Then again,
see.
He could come in and do the job, so what do I know?
But then, sure, look, I think it's more about managing, not the club or anything, it's managing the egos, etc. Is the hardest part of those jobs. Elsewhere, the Cork City amputee team, they finished fourth in the first ever EAFF Champions League tournament. The Rebel Army lost out 3-2 to Legia Warsaw earlier on today. Huge achievement for them.
Yeah, it was fantastic, man. Like, going over there and to compete in the first ever Champions League tournament is fantastic. And to put in some excellent performances like they did over the weekend has been great. And they're an absolute credit to the club and a credit to the city.
Yeah, I think they played with a player from Bowes and Shamrock Rovers or Shelburne as well, because just the league setup is very different here to how they play in the other countries. But yeah, fantastic for Cork City there. Sean O'Brien, he's going to miss the Rugby World Cup. Leinster have confirmed the open side flanker is to undergo hip surgery. He's expected to be ruled out for up to 6 months. He lifted the Pro 14 trophy last night at Celtic Park after they overcame Glasgow Warriors, but he's to play with Premiership side London Irish from next season, but it's very disappointing for anyone to be missing out like that. He's been ravaged by injuries.
And the last game of the season as well, our World Cup's around the corner, and then bam, out of nowhere to miss that. It's very, very frustrating.
Yeah, very disappointing for him. In motorsport, Lewis Hamilton has won the Monaco Grand Prix as well, so a big win for him. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. He came in third place, but he was disqualified, was he? Or he was pushed back, I think.
He got a time delay because he finished, was it second? It was Max Verstappen finished second on the road. We got a time penalty, so that pushed to Max. That means that Sebastian Vettel and Valtteri Bottas finished second and third, respectively.
Yeah, in golf, Bernd Vestberger has won the Maiden Denmark tournament. The Austrian was sharing the top leaderboard across the afternoon with Scott Robert McIntyre. However, he's finished up by winning by a shot on 14 under par. The best of the Irish this week was Paul Dunne, who finished in a tie for fourth on 9 under par after a final round of 67. Gavin Moynihan finishing up on 6 under par for the tournament with Michael Hoy on 2 under. In racing, the 5-2 favourite Hermosa has won the Irish 1,000 guineas, an 8th victory in the race for trainer Aidan O'Brien. It was a feature on the third day of the Spring Festival at the Curragh. Jockey Ryan Moore rode the winner in his third victory of the day at the Kildare track. And that has been completely revamped, the track up the Curragh.
Yeah,
as well.
I've been watching some of it over the TV over the last couple of days. It looks incredible.
Yeah, I was talking to a bookie who was up there recently working, and they thought that, I don't know, just the setup there itself isn't fantastic.
But on TV it looks great.
Well, on TV it looks great. When you're passing on a motorway, it looks great.
Yeah.
So that's, you know. Elsewhere in tennis, Roger Federer, he's made a winning start to, or return, I should say, to the French Open. He beat world number 73, Lorenzo Sonego, in straight sets in the first round at Roland Garros, but Wimbledon champion Angelique Kerber is out after a surprise defeat by Russian Anna Potapova.
All right, thank you very much indeed, Kieran. We're going to start the show with Gaelic Games. Cork beginning their Munster Championship football campaign with a home tie against Limerick in Portcurrin next weekend. The Treaty County surprised defeated Tipperary last week to set up a clash with the Rebels. Cork had a poor league this year, of course, relegated to Division 3. They've been showing a lot of promise in challenge matches since. Cork boss Ronan McCarthy has to contend with a number of injuries. He's been speaking to our Dennis Hurley.
The injury situation, is there anyone definitely out for the Limerick game? Anyone 50-50 or?
Sean Potter's definitely out, and obviously, look, Sam Ryan's season is over.
Okay.
Other than that, no, I think we're okay. Look, there'll be one or two might be touch and go, but we should be as close to full complement as we can be.
And is there a prognosis on Sean as to when he'd be back? Or
look, you're probably looking at late July, I would think.
Okay.
But I suppose it's dependent on two things. It's dependent on the speed of his recovery and obviously how far we go in the championship.
Okay. And how have things been since the end of the league? Obviously the players were away with their clubs and have come back in. So is it a case of forget about the league and look forward to the championship?
Yeah, look, I suppose as you say, there's a kind of a natural break at the end of the league anyway. And look, we came back and then we had 6-7 week run into the championship game. So look, we've been on the kind of challenge match circuit. And look, we've had a few games and they've all been good. And I suppose, look, they've allowed us to, you know, get game time into every player who's on the panel. Obviously, look, in the league, when we're restricted, look, you know, and obviously this year of the league, you could only use 5 subs as well. So
yeah.
So look, with that restriction, you know, there are fellas who don't get a lot of football throughout the league, and look, what the challenge games do is they allow you to get football into guys, and look, we use them quite well from that point of view.
And you mentioned there the 5 subs during the league this year. It's back to the old rules now again. Is there any difficulty in that adaptation?
I actually thought it made a huge difference. Actually, I found the 5 subs very restrictive.
Yeah.
And what you find is coming into the end of the game in particular, because you're always afraid of some guy getting injured, you know, you have to make the call, do I hold the last sub?
Yeah.
Do I go for it and so on? So, funny enough, and actually we had a couple of games, we say, where we lost one or two players. So if you take the Armagh match, for example, we lost Matty Taylor half-time, John O'Rourke after 20 minutes. We lost Brian Hurley about 10 minutes into the second half. So we had 3 gone off 5.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were still 30 minutes to go, you know? So actually, of all the, or not all of them, but one of the, that was one of those, certainly, I found quite restrictive in the league.
And then you're back to the old black card again, whereas someone who gets it now is gone for the rest of the game with a sub, whereas it was a sin bin during the league.
Yes.
But for the players, is that difficult to readjust?
I don't think so. I think the difficulty for players and for teams and all teams preparing was, look, that you were playing rules that were not going to be used in the championship, and look, that was probably not ideal.
Yeah.
But look, maybe we'll do it better next time.
And the perception, obviously after relegation, is that Cork had a bad league, but is there some consolation to take from, let's say, the second half? Did you beat Tip? You were close against Donegal, and then you beat Armagh when you had to win to keep your chances alive.
Yeah, look, what I say there about that is, we finished the league well, no question, and I think it's one of those ones that, you know, hindsight is 2020 vision. People will, if we, you know, have a good strong run in the championship, people will look back and say, oh yeah, sure, look, they finished the league quite well, and
yeah.
The signs were there. And if we don't, they'll say it made no difference. Look, you know, I felt the players, you know, obviously we were in a difficult position after the Meath game. We were back to the wall, and you know, we had to win three games, and actually we were in a whisker pulling it off, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously we're a bit unfortunate to get there, but look, that's, you move on, and I think I said previously that you have a good run in the championship and no one really care what league you're in.
Yeah. And we were at the Limerick and Tip game.
No, I've seen it on. Okay. We had people at it.
Yeah.
We had people at the game, but look, obviously I've watched it a good few times since.
And what's your expectation of what will come from Limerick?
That they'll bring exactly the same to the table as they did against Tip, and raw aggression, you know, huge work rate, no shortage of quality, to be fair to them. And they will feel this, that worked for them so well. If you were them, what you do the same again and try with us, you know.
And what do you do then, just to make sure that no one is complacent or takes them for granted?
Well, what I would say, look, my big thing about complacency and teams is that, that starts with guys who think that they are certainties in the team and that their place, you know, that they're a certainty for a particular, spot on the team. So, look, that starts with, there's huge competition for places in the team. I can guarantee you whatever team we name, we will have huge quality coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And so that's, look, to me, that's the greatest way to ensure that there isn't complacency, by making sure that every fella is looking over his shoulder in regard to his own starting place. And look, ultimately, look, we have to just, focus on ourselves, make sure we match what Limerick are bringing to the table, and match their level of aggression and match their work rate and energy, and hope that the quality that I believe we have in the team then is able to come through.
Perfect. Thanks.
That's Cork boss Ron McCarthy in conversation with Dennis Hurley ahead of next week's clash with Limerick at Páirc Uaireann. What would be a good summer for Cork, Ciarán?
If you're going to be realistic, okay, they should beat Limerick. They should beat Limerick, although Limerick did beat Tipperary, who would have, you'd assume, give Cork a good game. Limerick will probably give Cork a game, but Cork have been going very, very well in behind closed doors challenge matches. I'd fancy them to beat Limerick. Are they going to beat Kerry? Of course, the Cork team are going to believe they are, but in all honesty and reality, probably not. They go into the qualifiers, depends who they get then. A good year would be winning Munster, but that's just it. You don't want to be down. I don't want to be given or saying they've no hope or anything, because they're a good bunch. But Kerry are just that bit better. But I think maybe the qualifiers, Super 8 would be, I think, actually a positive year. I think Super 8 if they can get there.
All right, just an update from the Ladies Munster Championship. Cork leading Waterford 3-22 to 7 points down in CIT. Right, it's going to hear from Kevin Flav, who also spoke to Dennis ahead of the match at Páirc Uaireann.
How's preparations been since the end of the league?
Yeah, look, obviously we parked the league where it was. We obviously weren't delighted with the way it went. Look, we were happy with our last three performances, and main thing was we wanted to perform. We built on that. We had a good few challenge games, so we obviously went into them and we did well, and the training's going well. Training hard, we had a very good block. It's almost like a second pre-season almost when you come back from the league, when you come back from the club. But yeah, look, we've it all under our belt now and we're very happy with how it has went so far.
What was it good to be able to go back to the club and just kind of clear the head a bit and just recharge and then refocus when you do join together again with the county panel?
Definitely. Look, I'll always love going back to the club. I feel it's unfortunate that we can't play enough games with them, but that's just kind of the way it is, and yeah, that's what it takes. So we went back and obviously, look, fellas come forward in the championship, one or two fellas kicking 6 points in championship games for Duhallow and crowds like this. So like when they come back into training, then they're off a fresh bit of form, you know, which is fantastic. And again, you kind of get a break from the whole setup and you go out playing with different players and stuff, and fellas can come back, and we came back and it worked well for us, I feel, because everyone came back enthusiastic and ready to go at it again, you know.
And was there any kind of debriefing or team meeting or anything after the league to look at what went wrong and why it went wrong and how it can be avoided?
Yeah, look, we have briefings after most games, and we really do go through them and we look at our own mistakes mostly, and then we obviously look at the next thing to go. So we had a brief after every game, and look, halfway through we kind of said, look lads, it's not going well, and we really had a look at it. And if you look at the Tip game, the Donegal game and the Armagh game, they were significantly better, and we did do that. And look, we had a briefing after, obviously, as every team would, and the main thing was, look, we did go down and we had to park that, you know, that's next year's problem, and no one has even mentioned that at this stage, you know. It's literally all guns towards the championship, and that's what was said in the meeting, you know. There was obviously potential there, and I've played with a lot of teams between Sigurdsson and all that, and there is potential here, and that's the hope that we're going to drive on now and show that in the championship.
You mentioned getting to the league, like, was there some consolation at least to take from the fact that you went to Armagh and only had to win to keep alive your chances, and you know, but for the result in the Clare Tip game, you might have actually stayed up, that you needed to get the win and you did.
Yeah, look, that was it, and that was it. There was no two ways about it. If we didn't win, we were going down. And look, all Ronan said was, look, this is what's in our hands.
Yeah.
So we win here, and if it doesn't go our way, it doesn't go our way. There was nothing we could do in that day about it, unfortunately. So we did. We went out and we won. And to be honest, it was a great game, and they definitely put up Armagh a decent size, you know. And we got enough of it up there. They're a great, strong team.
Yeah.
So look, we were delighted to get the win up there, and that's what you have to build off. Obviously, the results weren't great, but for us, it was the performance. And look, to be honest, if we go out and we have a great championship, that'll be a lot better, you know.
Yeah, and you'd be going against Limerick as strong favourites, but Tip were going in against them as well, so it's probably a good thing that they've kind of shown their hand almost in putting up that good result, so you won't be taken for granted.
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, we played them earlier on in the year, I think it was the McGrath Cup, and look, they were a huge physical team, to be honest with you. And we came in at half time and they really shocked us, how physical they were, how strong, fit they were. They were, and very well trained, and a very good free taker and big midfield, like, they're a very strong team, you know. So obviously they run at you, they can hurt you big time. And look, to be honest with you, if we went out and played Tip and beat them by 7 points, we'd be absolutely over the moon. That's what Limerick did. So look, we're not taking them lightly at all, and despite if we were playing them first round, we were lucky enough to play them earlier on in the year. So look, we're not taking any chances, or we're not riding out, we don't read into this favourites or not favourites, because it's a game of football at the end of the day, you know. Everyone's fit, everyone's strong, everyone's conditioned, everyone has their tactics, and one or two breaks of ball could go anyway. So we just really have to outwork them, really, to and really want it more to go through to the Munster final.
That's Kevin Flav there speaking to Dennis ahead of the clash with Limerick next week at Porky Rin. That game, of course, a double header. The Munster Senior Ladies Football Championship clash of Cork and Kerry gets underway at 5 p.m. ahead of the senior footballers at 7. The ladies footballers will be going into that in good form. They've beaten Waterford 3-22 by 7 points. We have two pairs of tickets to give away to that double header. If you would like to head along, just text the word Rebels followed by your full name and address, please, to 086 8104 106, 086 8104 106. You can send us a WhatsApp on that number as well, 086 8104 106. Rebels, your full name and address, and that will draw out the winners just before we start Green on Red at 7 o'clock this evening. Right, quick break, we're going to come back, going to talk to Alan Callaghan, John Cotter, and we're going to talk to UCC.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Right, just in case you missed it, the Cork ladies had a big win over Waterford, 3-22 to 7 points in CIT. And it's all over, finally, Kieran, between Kildare and Longford.
Yeah, my beloved Longford.
Your beloved Longford, sorry. I knew I missed something there.
I was slagged over that recently.
Well, being from beloved, well, not being from
no,
beloved
haven't,
Longford.
No, haven't played with them.
Yeah,
well, in at fairness.
One, at least there's one inter-county hurler in this show.
Yeah, well, look, you could have made it.
Under 16B was the highlight of my career, I think.
Look, you could have gone further. You could have gone
further. The only reason I played in the B team was there was no C team.
But you should have been playing in the A team. They just didn't recognise your talent, Roar. Actually, because I met the person who gave me the bit of a dig about it, and he apologised last night.
Oh, interesting.
I said, so fair juice to him, in fairness, I will say that, because that doesn't happen very often, so fair juice to him. But anyway, yeah, they've drawn with Kildare 3:15 to 1:21. The replay's next Sunday back in O'Connor Park in Tullamore. So Dublin get another look at who they're going to probably demolish the next day out. Yeah. Right. Like, would you be better off losing that game
and not playing Dublin?
Like, what's the point?
Yeah. Is anyone going to stop Dublin this year? No.
I think Kerry could have a go.
Hopefully. As a Cork man saying, I hope Kerry beat Dublin is kind of...
Yeah, but Kerry just have something again this year with Peter Keane over them. You would have maybe said Mayo before they lost to Roscommon. but probably not Mayo now. Although they seem to go well when they go through the qualifiers. But I don't know. I don't think so. Probably not. They'll get the drive for five sorted out, you know.
As I mentioned just before the break as well, tickets to give away to Cork and Limerick next week in the Parkrin, and that ladies game as well between Cork and Kerry. Doubleheader in Parkrin next weekend, next Saturday. We have two pairs of tickets to give away, 086 8104 106. Text the word Rebels and your full name and address, please. You can send us a WhatsApp as well. We'll draw out the winners just before 7 o'clock. Tough sell for that, especially with the Champions League final next weekend, Kerr, at the same time.
Yeah, there had to have been a reason why it was put on at that time. I went checking TV rights and it doesn't seem to be on any of the TV stations. So yeah. I can't fathom why it's on so late on a Saturday. Because if it's not being televised, there's no need for it to be so late. No, that's from what I can find. I could be wrong, but I don't see anything anyway saying they're going showing it. It's crazy putting it up against the Champions League final. People are going to watch that whether they're interested in it or not. It's going to be a very, very hard sell this week.
All right. We were talking Fela yesterday. Cork hurler Alan Carrigan is a Fela ambassador, along with Fela hurler Shane Kingston, Camogie players Julia White and Gemma O'Connor as well. Kieran was at the launch on Monday and spoke with Alan about his memories of Fela and how important the competition is.
Yeah, I think listening to all the speeches there, it just shows how important the Fela is to this organisation and the amount of work, not alone from the GA, but from players, from management teams, from coaches, from family hosting it. It's just it's phenomenal, and I have very, very good fond memories going back to 2007.
Yeah, we touched on one of those memories, but memories are a big part of Fela, and players going off to different counties and getting hosted and that, as you mentioned, like that, creating lifelong memories.
Yeah, and going back 12 years ago, we were in Roscommon, and just simple things like forgetting the footballs, the friends that you make, the parade through Roscommon town, who you're beaten by in the quarter final, and those kind of things. And just you make friends for life there, and those kids inside there, it's really not about the winning or losing, it's about embracing I suppose the opportunity to go out and express yourselves as players and to improve as players, but also as people as well. And it'll bring communities closer together, and they won't realise this until they're maybe my age or older, and they think back and they think of all the fellas we stay with and what house and what the Fela was like. And that's what the Fela organisation is all about.
That probably, playing in the Fela, maybe set you up for Cork squads along the professionalism and all that. Just briefly touching on the Munster Championship, you came back after a long layoff at the weekend, knocking over, I think it was 3 points I think in the end, but setting up a lot more as well. That must have been very gratifying for yourself, getting back on.
Yeah, obviously it was nice to be get back in the field yesterday, but I suppose more importantly that we got 2 points on the board. And obviously, look, I picked up a few injuries, and as I said, it's nice to get back playing, but look, we got 2 points on the board. It's nothing to be jumping around the place about. We keep our feet firmly on the ground, because there's huge challenges ahead, and the Munster Championship can throw up anything. And you can see yesterday, tip one, Limerick now have to go to Waterford, I think, in 2 weeks, and then Waterford to come and play us. So it's a battlefield out there, but we know ourselves that we have a lot to work in. Yesterday wasn't the finished article, so we draw a line under it and we go back training out during the week, and we regroup and go again.
You have that break now of 2.5 weeks or so, or 3 weeks even. That'll be important to manage that, I suppose, and then power straight back into it for the next out.
Yeah, and as I said there, that yesterday wasn't the finished article, that we've a lot to work in, and this week now we'll get back onto the training field and kind of look back at the Limerick game and see what worked well and what didn't and how we need to improve. But the most important thing is that we don't slacken off, and I don't think we will, because we have an excellent group of players there and we know what needs to be done over the next 3 weeks for another huge challenge against Waterford.
Yeah, that game against Waterford is going to be their last game, so it could either be they're not really playing for anything other than pride maybe, but they could still be playing for that third spot maybe as well, so it could be a cauldron inside in Parky Creeve.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Munster Championship, you can't pick your top three teams because anything could happen on any given day against any given team. So again, we can't think of that. We just think of, you know, who we're playing. Doesn't matter, we cross that out of our mind and we go out and we try to put in a performance, and if the performance follows, hopefully the result will follow then.
Yeah. And lastly, before I leave you go, I think you mentioned it inside, is the first time you've actually lined up with Owen on the Cork team as well.
Yeah, he mentioned it to me last night. So it was between myself picking up an injury last year, that was his first year coming back, and then this year, then the start of the league, pick up bits of injuries, and obviously missing the tip game last week due to a hamstring injury. So it was nice, yeah, to line out in the same field as him yesterday, and it was nice for my club Douglas, but also for my parents as well. So it was a happy day for them also.
Yeah, that was a nice little addition to that story last week. I was surprised to see they'd never played in the Cork jersey before, but then when you think about it, as Alan mentioned there, he was injured and a lot, and Owen missed the year as well. So
they've been around for so long, you think they have, yeah. But it was just an interesting thing that they hadn't actually lined out together because of various things. And Owen had played football while Alan was playing hurling, then Alan was injured and Owen came back playing hurling, and yeah, it was the first time lined out together, and they both played absolute blinders as well in that game.
Yeah, they certainly did. Alright, UCCU Crown Munster Senior League champions earlier on this week, a 3-0 win away to bring Mahon Rangers on the last day of the season, clinching the title for college. Boss Noel Healy, centre half Rob Slevin, called in to me earlier on today to discuss their season. Noel, first off, what an incredible season it has been, and there's still three games left to go. It could be an even more incredible season.
Yeah, it's been a long season, Rory. We started off on August the 20th, and we've kind of gone through the whole season. We're nearly in our close to 50 games this year between various different competitions, including college competitions and Intermediate Cup and Munster Senior League. And it's been a very rewarding season, and to cap it with two trophies at the end of the season is always a nice finish to the end of the season.
Rob, to have to play almost 50 games, how do you combine football with your studies when you're playing 50 games over the course of the year?
It's for me, it's fairly enjoyable because, you know, you kind of, your studies is kind of a break from football, and then your football is a break from studies at the same time. So when you're playing all those games, I think, you know, you're playing with your best friends as well, who you're also studying with, like, so it's not too hard really, like it's quite enjoyable, to be fair.
I imagine it's kind of intense though, with kind of exams coming up and then you have to go train and play matches at the same time.
Yeah, I suppose the exams season is kind of probably the toughest part of it. You know, you can't really even train at times, and then you're kind of struggling through exams then at the same time. But then like, we were rewarded like brilliantly, like we won the league, and our form even during exam season was probably even better than it was when we were properly training and stuff, like, so I think matches are definitely a great break from that.
No, do you encourage the lads to see it as a release and as an escape from their studies and their pressures?
Yeah, look, Rory, we've been around for a little bit, and we got things wrong at early stages in 2011, 2012, even 2013, when John Coffey was involved in us, and we learned that March, April and May was a very, very difficult time. And there's a physical, mental tiredness that kicks in that you can't really see or kind of appreciate, and I think what we've done over time is that we've just eased off on things. Guys that are sitting, you know, 8-10 hours in a chair studying, they of other pressures that are going on, and we try and sneak in a training session here and there to kind of balance the season. But if you look at our form, Rory, going into like March 9th, we played away to Leeds and we got beaten, and we were going into the last 9 games, we won 7 and we drew 2 to win the league, which was, you know, in the middle of their peak time, studies, exams, everything going on. So, you know, we take a little bit of credit, but they deserve a huge amount of credit for what they've done.
Sorry, so are the exams over now, or are they still on the horizon? So freedom, so
3 weeks ago, so.
Is this your last year, is it?
No, I'm only in second year, so I have another 2 years left.
Happy days. Noel, heading into the start of the season, when you look at the group of players that you have, did you think that A, the Munster Senior League was achievable, and B, that the Con was achievable?
It's over the last couple of years, teams that gel very, very early and get a good team spirit, and this bunch of lads kind of developed that really, really quickly and early. Now, we had to make mistakes before and learn from it, and I think they've learned very, very quickly what it was like when you won and taste success. And the Collingwood was one of those ones where you go in a tournament, you tend to see things differently because you're with guys, you know, for three full days. Thankfully, we were there for the whole lot, and then you build the team morale around that. And you know, we had some tough conversations when things went wrong. We had some really good conversations when things went right. But you know, these guys are athletes. These guys are coming with a totally different attitude to when I was playing back 20 years ago. These guys are coming in and they're preparing themselves right, they're recovering right, and once they buy into all that in the college, they're reaping the rewards.
And what's Noel like to play for?
I think probably different to anything I've experienced before. I suppose with the college as well, you know, you're playing a college league and the Munster Senior League, so we have to adjust our game kind of from college league probably being a bit quicker and technical, and then Munster Senior League being a bit more physical. So I think Noel knows the balance between that. You know, he's been around a while and he knows the both sides of the game.
We'll talk about the Collingwood in a bit, but you were crowned Munster Senior League champions earlier on in the week. For it to go down to the last game of the season with three teams involved, Noel, I suppose it shows you the standard that was there this year, and it was a very competitive league.
Yeah, but it's probably the lowest total points this year. We finished with 36. Normally the league is won between 38 and 42, 43. So, you know, it was a very, very competitive league. I mean, we started off a little bit behind like we do every year because we don't have Leaving Cert students in college, so we don't know who we have. And the first, after five games, Ringman had 15 points. And then it went to six and they had 16 points. So you're kind of going, this is a big catch up. And then all of a sudden the whole league started kicking in and everyone was taking points off everybody, and then we just crept in and we started competing with things, and then we dropped points. But as the league went on, what we didn't do last year, what we did this year, is we took points off the top teams and we kept ourselves in the hunt, and all of a sudden then we were knocking them back and we were going ahead, and it just gave us that little momentum towards the end.
Was there a key point in the season, Robert, you thought yourself, right, we're in with a chance here?
I don't know if it was like that, but I definitely think the Leeds game was a turning point when we lost 2-0. I think, you know, we were looking at the table then thinking like we might actually even go down here at some stage, and then I think that was just turning point when I just remember sitting in the dressing room and we were all just tearing the heads off each other, but you know, it was definitely a turning point.
Probably needed that release though, I'd imagine, did you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think looking at our form even in the cups, in the league, you know, like we were just winning, and it becomes a habit. Like.
So going into that game now last Wednesday night against Ringman, was there any doubt in your head that you weren't going to win the game and that you weren't going to be league champions?
I think we all knew. I think in the dressing room before, there was no nerves, there was just all belief that we could do it.
Tactically, Noel, how did you approach it? Because I mean, like, if you don't go and get an early goal, the nerves can start to creep in and that can spread to the rest of the team.
And you know, our team selection was really, really important the other night, and you could kind of have a couple of hats on at the, and you're watching other results, but we played three strikers up top and we went with two wide strikers, you know, and a striker number nine up top, and we just went for it. We played football the way we played all season. The nerves were always one of these things that you're always afraid of. An early goal from Ringman could change things, but, you know, and we settled in really well. Ringman gave us a great game, which was really important to us because it meant that we raised our game as well too, and we got two goals within 2 minutes, and that kind of killed it. But the third goal just gave it that little gap that if they came back in and got something, the nerves would kick in. But no, these guys have been outstanding all season.
Imagine, Rob, the relief, I suppose, on the first, those two goals went in those 2 minutes, must have been something else.
It was a really quick turnaround, to be fair. To be Joe Nilall, there's always a bit of nerves, especially in the first 10 minutes, because you don't know what's going on in Rockmount. And then I think just to get the second goal really was just such a nice cushion. And then going in 3-0 at half time, Joe, the second half was just the second half is long because you're kind of just waiting for the final whistle.
Yeah, Rob started the whole campaign off last week. I mean, he scored the opening goal from a set piece. He got the winning goal in the Collingwood. And he scored an unbelievable goal against Avondale the week before in the 94th minute to bring it to the last game of the season. So, you know, for a centre back, it's not bad.
What qualities does he bring to the table?
Rob has really developed over the last while. I mean, physique wise, he's just incredible. His positioning has got a lot better. He's learnt an awful lot from the game. His ball skill, his control, he's starting to talk to players. People are now all of a sudden looking to him as a leader. And I think they're the things that he's going to bring to his own game that he's definitely brought in the last kind of 6 months. And I've said it time and time again, just watch out for Rob Slevin. He's a name for the future.
And we've seen Sean McLaughlin go from UCC to starting role with Cork City. Is that something that you've kind of maybe thought of? Or
I actually haven't even had time to think about it. I think I probably like to focus on the present at the moment, and we had such a long season, you just don't even, and you, in fairness, you don't really want to think about that, because you kind of just want to live in the moment, and when you're winning games you want to win stuff with UCC at the moment.
Noel, the Collingwood Cup is always massively important for UCC football, and there's kind of an allure about it. There's something mythical about the Collingwood Cup, isn't there?
Yeah, well, it's an unbelievable tradition. You know, for any team to play, to win it, play three games in 3 days is, and it's not long ball stuff. It's a physical footballing end to end stuff. And you know, we went down to UL this year, and our opening game is against DCU. And you know, we got two quick goals, but they came at us then for the last half an hour because it's cup football. And the nerves kick in for the first game, and you settle into the tournament in the second game. But we came out of that 2-1. Probably Dave Coffey made a couple of great saves towards the end. And then you go into the defending champions in UCD in the second game, who had all the stars with them, and then we dominated that game and played really, really well. It was a very tactical game, created a lot of chances. Simon Falvey came up top, or trumps with regards to scoring the winning goal. We could have probably got a little bit more out of it, and then that brings into huge confidence. And then you go into UL, who have never won it before, home favourites. We hit the post crossbar, we 2-1-1s. And they went down and snuck a goal and defended really, really well. And then 87 minute up pops Simon Falvey from a kind of a little train move that we only kind of did a couple of days beforehand. And then Robin, then 90 whatever, third, fourth, fifth minute in extra time, comes up with a fabulous header to win. You know, it's just incredible.
How did that feel, Rob?
Yeah, it was a bit surreal, to be fair. I think, you know, Collingwood is a bit of a bubble. You know, you're there for 3 days with all the boys, and I think Joe scoring, it doesn't really sink in until a few days after, when you're watching the game back and you see it doesn't even look real.
What was the goal like? Describe it for us.
It's Garen's crossing the ball from corner. I just headed it and it hit off the back stanchion or something, but it was kind of all a blur, seeing the ball, and then all the lads running onto the pitch. It was unreal.
That's quite modest. Garen crossed and I headed it. That was it.
Yeah, simple goal, really.
How do you find playing 3 days in a row in the Collingwood Cup format?
I think when you get to the third day, you're kind of just running on adrenaline, really. It's your body's sore, and even the UCD game is very tough. You know, we're down to 10 men for half of it as well. But we did play the two games in Astro, so they weren't as heavy, the legs, as they could have been. But yeah, you're definitely running on adrenaline in the last game.
Yeah, fantastic. Was that your fourth Collingwood in 10 years, was it? Or?
Fourth, yeah. We won 2-11, 2-15, 17 and 19, so four. And the big thing for us, though, was that it was more than UCD in the last number of years, so that's a little internal battle that we have. But it's a great tournament. It really, really is.
I hate to be asking you about your plans for next season, even though the season is still ongoing, but how many players will be moving on from the team next year?
Yeah, we've four, possibly five. We've one guy waiting on his results, John Buttermore. He's waiting, and he's been accepted for Masters, and we just need to wait and see what results he gets. But normally, traditionally, we lose about seven or eight every year. 2 years ago we lost nine, so this year we've a little bit of a better mix this year, but we need to strengthen up, we need to make it more competitive, we need to and that's, I think we're getting the better players every year now, because they're starting to see the rewards from the likes of Rob, and they're growing up with all these guys, and they should be playing at college when they're in college.
Yeah, but for you, that makes your job harder, that you're kind of rebuilding every year and year and year.
Well, there's a plus and a minus in it. It's when these, the likes of Rob and these guys that have been around for a couple of years, they're probably sick of hearing my voice. Whereas a new guy comes in, it's all new to them, yeah. and what we do is new to them. So they're experiencing probably something different. By the time Rob's leaving, he's fed up with me anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. But no, it's listen, we've been very fortunate. We've got really, really good players. Like we, Gordon Walker last year left Cove Ramblers to join us. As Garen Manley the year before, Dave Coffey from Cork City the year before. All these guys were on the verge of getting professional contracts. Saw what they were, what the college were doing with sport, with soccer, the Mardek Arena then is this little facility that no one else has.
It's world class.
Yeah, it's world class. And you know, players are, you know, getting those extra 5, 10, 15, 20% out of doing the right things, and the Mardek can give those players that. And these guys will come out and go on to bigger and better things.
And Rob, is obviously something you encourage any players to play for UCC?
Yeah, definitely. I think the facilities even we have, you know, we'll be in the gym, you know, twice a week, training twice a week, match on the weekend, you know, it's nearly almost full time, to be fair. And you know, you're given every single opportunity and every single facility possible, I think, to become a better player.
Something we've always wondered, Noel, is UCD compete in the League of Ireland. Have you ever thought of UCC competing in the League of Ireland?
It has been discussed. It's come up over the last couple of years. I think the financial cost is we did some work on it, and I think UCD are in between 300,000 and 400,000 to keep it up and running. But it's not only that, you've got to have a knock on effect. You've got to have your 19s, and you've got to have your triple down, so it goes down through all the age group this year. So it's something that's been looked at. We just need to, you know, the Mardyke is, and the farm are all being redeveloped, so you know, there's a new arena being opened up in the next couple of years. So you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years time, it's definitely worth re-looking at again.
Glad, it's been an absolute pleasure having you, and congratulations on what's been an incredible season, and best of luck for the remaining couple of games.
Just before we go, Rory, I wonder, could I just mention two things? First of all, our scholarship application form is live on UCC Sports, i.e. scholarships, and they're closing on June the 28th, so it's really important that if anyone is thinking of coming to college this year, to fill out those. And the other thing too as well, I'd just like to acknowledge a Cork sporting person in James Corkery. I think it's been he's been incredible for Monsignor League, he's been incredible for Rockmount, he's been a character that I've had lots of little tussles with, lots of fun memories.
That seems to be a recurring theme, alright?
Yes. Yeah, but all in good nature, because you know, but just to Rockmount, you know, my hearts go to them, because they lost the chairman, they lost a real good football guy, to his family, to Billy Crone, who probably lost a best friend, and it's a very tough closing part of the season for them, and my condolences go to all of them.
Yeah, very classy stuff there from my UCC boss, Noel Healy. Thank you to Noel and to Rob Slevin for calling in. It's been an incredible season for them. Collingwood Cup, Munster Senior League title, great stuff for college. Alright, Cork City taking on Bohemians tomorrow night in the League Cup quarter final up in Dalymount Park. I spoke to John Cotter today.
Conor McCarthy is a knock from Friday. Conor McCormick is a knock from Friday. Carroll Shepherd, which is obviously a thing that's been ongoing anyway, he's carrying a slight knock, and obviously Gary Boylan missed Friday, and his is still being assessed now as well. And Cullum Horgan, who would have missed a few games as well over the last few weeks there, he's another fellow who's tightened up since Friday as well, so they all need to be assessed now.
So would it have been the League Cup, you got to make a lot of changes, or is it kind of like try and keep everyone involved and try and get that formula clicking, I suppose?
No, like, it wouldn't be saying you make a lot of changes, but there'd be a few lads coming in, absolutely, but it's still a game that a lot of our lads will play in, and it's still a quarter final of a cup, and we're going up there to win the match and hopefully get through.
Do you expect them to make a lot of changes, or...?
Hard to know really, because they have made changes in a lot of games. He's rotated it quite a bit, so, but look, that's up to themselves, to be fair. Look, we're just looking after our lads, as you said. We have a lot of injuries to assess as well, so we just mainly get our own team right.
Yeah, it's John Cotter there speaking ahead of tomorrow's clash with Bohemians. We'll put the whole lot on our website, redfm.ie. Running out of time, but I just want you to play you the most Davy Fitzgerald interview of all time following their draw today. This is Wexford boss Davy Fitzgerald.
Davy Fitzgerald, things didn't go your way, but you pulled out a draw despite the fact that you were very unhappy, and that's me putting it mildly.
Yeah, I don't know, I'd agree with you there, and I'll tell you the truth. I think that was an awesome Wexford display. No one gave us a chance coming up to Galway today by ourselves. We should have won that game today, 100%, and we're disappointed, but my God, I'm fair proud of the lads there today.
It might be a silly question, but you say you should have won. You didn't. Why not?
I think you could see the game yourself, not being totally honest about it. We missed a clear-cut goal at the end with a bad wide at the end. I think anyone that had a pair of eyes out there today would see we were the better team.
There's a lot of wides as well in the first half.
Yeah, we had 10 wides in the first half to their 8. But that's the type of game to us. When you play a game like that and it's very intense, a lot of people probably wouldn't understand it. When it's really tight and hard, they don't get space to hardly breathe, you know? And the conditions are really tough today.
When you were sent off the sideline, what was said to you?
Listen, that's the second time in a row that we have had a fella taken out off the ball. It happened in the last one here as well. Yet there seems to be one rule for one set of management and another for another. So I'm actually seeing that the officials again didn't abuse him. I was making my point quite clearly that our lad was taken out off the ball. They ended up getting a score, and that's not right.
To be devil's advocate, they would say that either it happened off the ball, they didn't see it, or they did the best decision that they saw at the time.
I think that's not the truth. Hi, hold on. Being honest now, you're giving me too many hard questions and I'm not interested in answering that stupid one.
Well, it's not a stupid question. I'm just being devil's advocate. Bye, Davy Sloan.
Fair play to Mara Trastny Callagher taking no BS from Davy.
If you go up to a fourth official and you say, look, that's after happening, the fourth official will be like, okay, fair enough, whatever happened, blah, 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 blah.
But
when Davy goes in, because he's not able to control himself, he loses the plot. And that's what happens. You get sent away, you know. And that fourth official is a strict guy as well. He's on the ball, you know. Mick Murtha from Westmeath. So, yeah, sure, look, you can't do it anyway, you know.
All right, we're out of time. Winners for Cork and Limerick tickets and Cork and Kerry doubleheader tickets, I should say.
Yeah, Michelle Sheehan in Glenville and Claire O'Donovan in Clon.
Congrats, guys. Enjoy the game. We're out of time. We're back next Saturday from 6 p.m. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench. Green and Red's up next with Alan Donovan. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.